Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of JTL Industries Limited, hosted by Nuvama Wealth Management. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sneha Talreja from Nuvama Wealth Management. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you, Michelle. Good afternoon, friends. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, we welcome you all to the JTL Industries Q1 FY24 conference call. We are joined today by the senior management of JTL Industries, represented by Mr. Pranav Singla, Full-time Director, Mr. Dhruv Singla, Full-time Director cum CFO, and Mr. Atul Garg, VP Finance. We will start with opening remarks by the management, followed by a Q&A session. I will now like to hand the call to Mr. Pranav Singla for his opening remarks. Over to you, Pranav.
Thanks, Sneha, and thanks, Nuvama, for hosting us this quarterly earnings call. Good afternoon, everyone. We welcome you all to our Q1 FY24 earnings call. So let's begin the call with a brief about the company. We are in the industry for over three decades and are one of the fastest-growing steel tube manufacturing companies in India. We manufacture ERW steel pipes, PD galvanized and galvanized pipes, and also solar structures. The valued products in our portfolio are galvanized pipes and solar structures. We have increased our manufacturing capacity from 1 lakh tons in 2019 to 580,000 tons in FY23. We have also increased our number of distributors from over 300 to 800 in FY23. And if you talk about the presence of JTL in India, we have currently four plants, out of which two are in Punjab, one in Maharashtra, and one in Chhattisgarh. If I give you the capacity-wise capacity of each plant, right now the capacity at our Dewas plant is 1 lakh tons, and this was the first plant that we commissioned in 1991. This was part of the production of black pipe back then, and over the years we've added four plants, and the second plant which we commissioned under JTL was in Maharashtra, in Mangaon. It started the capacity of 1 lakh tons back in 2019, but over the years we have ramped up the capacity to 2 lakh tons. We make black pipes and along with that galvanized pipes over there as well. The third plant under JTL is a plant in Mandi Gonwe. It initially had a capacity of 1 lakh tons, but last year we ramped up the capacity in Mandi Gonwe as well. And now over there, along with making black pipes, we've added a capacity of galvanized pipes as well. And total capacity contributed to 2 lakh tons in our Mandi plant as well. The fourth plant that we have, which we recently merged with, was Chetan Industries. The plant is located in Raipur and has a capacity of 1 lakh ton as well. And it has 50% of its lines dedicated towards producing valued products as well. And the one main thing about Chetan Industries is, which gives us a lot of benefit, is it is one step backward integrated. So we make our old coils in our Chetan Industries plant, which is used for self-consumption. So if you talk about the capacity of Chetan Industries, it's the Raipur plant, it's 1 lakh ton for pipes and 1.6 lakh ton for coils as well. And we are equipped with in-house cutting-edge testing machinery to cater over 1,000 SKUs through the coil product portfolio. So the highest-selling product in our portfolio, also known as JTL Ultra. So these are high-strength and low-weight hollow section pipes manufactured in various shapes and sizes, having application in manufacturing machinery equipment for agricultural purposes and building cranes and construction purposes. A new product which was recently started by us, JTL Hulk. These are the large black size and galvanized pipes which are higher, bigger and higher and comparatively heavier in weight. These are used for PV structures, ray rouncing and also used in airports as well. JTL Harvest is a product which is also galvanized and black as well, which is used in bore wells and rainwater harvesting. The JTL Aqua is a product which is a galvanized pipe which has a comparatively smoother surface inside, which is mainly used for water supply, water distribution, and irrigation and plumbing and standardization. The JTL Galva Coat is a product which is a pre-galvanized product which has application in furniture and fencing and also has a lot of use in places where it is comparatively much more renewable than others. And JTL Agni Coat is a product which is used for fire protection systems such as firefighting, We have entered into a new segment as well in which we make solar structures. So it is the product which is placed under the solar panel. And the main buyers for us are all the EPC players such as Tata, Wada. And so we have commenced the production of this product in 2017 as well. So around, this is a lot, last product of our portfolio as well. We have around 1,000 SKUs right now, and we export around to 20 countries and 5 continents. Our export mix is made up of approximately 90% of galvanized pipes, which is a valued product, which helps us to lead higher revenues and more margins as well. Moreover, we are also being recognized as a star export house by the Government of India, because we've been exporting since our inception since 1991. So we are one of the largest and the oldest exporters from India since that time. This had a performance in this quarter. We performed well and recorded a sales volume growth of around 52% compared to the same period last year. And the EBITDA increased as well by a percentage of 131%. And our last year EBITDA was around 15 crores, and this year our EBITDA was at 35 crores. The EBITDA margins have also increased significantly as well. Last year, the margin that we were operating at was 4.18%, whereas this year, quarter one, our EBITDA margins are 7.04%. This majorly led because our valued segment share was quite higher than what we have been performing before. And our improving of construction capacity from all the plants has resulted in this number. If you talk about the PAT numbers, this has increased from rupees 12 crores in last year quarter one to 25 crores in this quarter. So this is around 110% jump from last year as well, which has given good source to the company, the cash flow as well. And I'll pass on the call to Dhruv Singla, who is the company CFO and director of the company, who will give more about the company.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the call hosted by Nuvama. For our company, Jupiter Industries. I would like to start off with giving a little brief about on the industry front. We expect the demand to remain strong for the next many years, surging by approximately 7 to 8%. This is backed by a robust infrastructure push by the government, such as warehousing, building over 100 airports, ensuring water sanitization, and Jal Jeevan Mission, building affordable housing, and expansion of railway networks coupled with increase in private capex and improving capacity utilization. Going forward, in order to capitalize on the upcoming opportunities, we are aiming to reach a total manufacturing capacities of 10 lakh tons by adding 2 lakh tons each in a Maharashtra plant and Chhattisgarh plant. Out of the total 4 lakh tons, 2 lakh tons will be deployed by the way of DFT, direct forming technique, which will facilitate us to produce various sizes of hollow sections pipes without roll change, increasing our efficiency and capacity utilization. In order to fulfill the desired targets, we have raised a total of rupees 384 crores by allotment of fully convertible warrants. After the expansion is completed, we anticipate a considerable improvement in our net operating cash flows, alleviating the need of significant reliance on short-term borrowing or immediate cash flows. Also, we aim to increase our share of international sales to 15% from current levels of 7 to 8%, which will fetch us better margins and revenue growth. Now, I would like to pass on to Sneha to take this call forward.
Sir, shall we open the floor for the Q&A session?
Yes, we can go ahead with that.
Thank you very much, sir. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have the first question from the line of CA Garvit Goyal from Nvest Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, you are audible.
So my first question is on the steel prices. Like steel pricing corrected this quarter, and we can see the impact of that on your EBITDA per ton on Q-on-Q basis. My question is, are we still targeting EBITDA per ton of INR somewhere between 5200 to 5300 for FY24? Because going forward this year, it is likely that the steel prices will further fall. So what I understand is, in this kind of scenario, we as a commodity player will have to face inventory losses like we face in this quarter. So how do you look at this? That is one, and I will ask the second one after your take on this.
Hi, Arunji. Thank you for your question. The steel prices have corrected in the last quarter and have been correcting for the last 4 months, but have now been bottomed out. We expect after the monsoon season, which will be, say, another 1 month, the steel prices to be corrected upwards with continuity in demand, because there is a lot of demand in the market per se with the projects that are coming in with the government push. Going forward, we see that the prices would actually correct in the upward direction, and which would entail that there would be a better demand in the market. So going forward, we see our target is to remain between a range of 4,500 to 5,000 rupees per ton. So pairing the value added mix that we currently have and improving on that, we should be able to achieve that.
Means your EBITDA per ton will fall in FY24 as compared to FY23, right?
So FY23, our EBITDA per ton was about 5,300 rupees per ton. This year, we are anticipating that our range would be somewhere between 4,500 to 5,500. So that is the range we are expecting. We cannot comment on the absolute numbers yet.
Understood, sir. And secondly, on the demand side, we are targeting 30% volume growth going forward. So what is the reason for this lower target? Like, our base is too small as compared to the industry leader. If industry leader is giving this growth guidance on its large base, then what is stopping us to have 50-60% volume growth? Because the demand environment is pretty good. And because of upcoming elections, execution is also pretty fast. So in this quarter also, in value terms, we are 50% up Y on Y. So can we say on full year basis, we can achieve at least 50% volume growth?
Again, Arvindji, our target is on a year-on-year basis of a 35% growth. Our capacity expansion are also in way according to that. Current capacity that we have and utilization, the industry standard utilization is around 60%. So at a capacity of 5,86,000 that I'm operating on a current scenario, my target is somewhere between 3,50,000 tons to 3,80,000 tons. So that is a target of volume this year.
Understood. And sir, what is the EBITDA margin target for full year FY24?
Yes,
so we always aim to work the EBITDA margins of 7 to 8%. The last year, the EBITDA margins were extraordinary because we had a one of our clients last quarter. So, and the company always tries to get the best margin out of it. But ideally, to set on the safe side, the company would be achieving a margin of 7.8 to 8.5 annually of EBITDA margin.
7 to 8% you are saying?
Yes, 7 to 8% range.
For the full year basis, right? And revenue growth will be 30 to 35% in value terms.
Yes, so we are expecting a 35% growth, so our capacities are adding in a phase wise manner, and the person follows up in the same manner as well. So we expect, according to our capacity addition, that we should be having a 35% growth in every year, in top line as well.
In revenue terms, right? Not in volume terms.
In volume as well, because our capacities are adding in the same way as well. So last year we closed around 2,40,000 tons, so we are expecting a 35% volume growth.
Okay, sir, understood. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. All the best.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Amit Dixit from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
So, good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. The first one is, if I see slide number 20, where you have shown the revenue per ton bar chart, and slide number 21, where EBITDA per ton bar chart has been shown. Now, if I look at sequential prices, so, you know, prices have gone up from Q4 to Q1. But EBITDA per ton has gone down actually from Q4 to Q1. Just wanted to understand the drivers for the same. Is it some impact of one-off cost or inventory revaluation or whatever? And whether we will see it in the future also, this kind of, you know, thing is not particularly something that we would expect in a converter business like you.
Hi, Amitji, very welcome. Thanks for your question. As compared to the Q4 of last year, we had fared very well in the Q4, and that was a one-off quarter for us because of the we had good orders of value-added products at a higher level than what the market there was at that particular point of time, and that's how we had performed very well in that. But our range of expectations for the entire year have always been of a beta level of 7 to 8%. So being a converter, as you rightly mentioned, in the market, the conversion cycle and the cyclical manner of pricing in the steel industry, we anticipate being a good value-added product supplier in the market to maintain the levels of 7 to 8% even after the growth that we are projecting. So that's one of the reasons. And if, I would say that Q4 is exceptional. Q4 23 was an exceptional quarter for us, but that cannot be benchmarked for the entire next year.
No, my question was that, you know, in from Q4 to Q1, what we saw was there was a price increase, and a good price increase on top of that. It was like close to 6,000 rupees per ton. But EBITDA per ton is still, you know, fell. So I just wanted to get a sense of that. Yes, whether, you know, your raw material cost was high, conversion margin was high, I mean, export margins were lower. I mean, I just wanted to get an understanding on that.
So yes, in this quarter, there was a correction in prices in this particular quarter, even in the primary and the secondary market. So and in international market also, there was a correction in prices. So due to that particular reason, there has been a lower EBITDA per ton.
Okay, so the second question, if I move to your, target for increasing capacity and target for increasing export volume. So where will you see this export volume increasing? Will it be more in galvanized products?
So currently we are producing a range of half inches to 10 inches, wherein we are supplying to the regions of Europe, UK, Africa, Australia, but we still haven't opened our doors for the markets of US and Canada. With the advent of the DSP technology, we would be able to cater to the higher structure dyes as well, using our SKUs in that particular market where the duty structures for Indian steel is not present on the higher dia pipes, tubes. So we are seeing the demand coming in from new market share, and also the new SKUs that we will be developing with the advent of DSP technology.
So just
to
follow up on that,
demand in black pot as well from Australia, especially. So although we have been supplying other sites since inception, but there has been a demand of black pot as well in the market, the export market. So along with glamour side, we have a good demand to take orders for black size versus sports market. So that's where the demand is going in every sector.
So just to follow up on that, US and Canada is very interesting because this is possibly the most protected steel market in the world and attracts a substantial duty. So, but you said that, you know, higher diameter pipes won't attract this duty. So can you tell us what diameter pipes don't attract this particular duty?
Currently the higher diameter pipes in square and rectangular, they do not attract those duties. Our current portfolio, we cannot make those pipes.
Okay, but in this expansion, these pipes will be made?
Yes.
Okay, and higher diameter, what would be that range? I mean, if you can give some numbers.
So we are introducing DFT to the range of up to 350 to 350.
350 by 350. Okay. Okay. Thanks. That's very helpful. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aditya Welekar from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So my question is once again on the same which Avik was referring to. So we were expecting that there will be some inventory loss, but that inventory loss has exceeded our expectation. So the question remains, means despite the steel prices not falling substantially quarter-over-quarter, the inventory loss which we booked in this quarter appears to be quite high at 25 crore approximately. So is there any one-off in that? And so that's the first question, then I'll go ahead with the next question.
So I would ask Mr. Satish to take the inventory loss.
So what has happened in this is there were certain imports that were on the way for our export market, and suddenly the international market had also corrected. That was one of the reasons, and also there was another reason for this is that we are present in both the primary and the secondary market, wherein the correction in the secondary market was more substantial than the primary market. So that is one of the reason that there has been a substantial inventory loss. Going forward, we are only in the Q1 of this year, and we still have three more quarters to go. This is more of a cyclical turn, as I referred to Mr. Amitji earlier, that takes place in our industry, and going forward, since we'll be adding more to our value-added share and increasing our capacity, like since this quarter also, we've done fairly well on quantity terms as compared to the previous year. So that should help us regain this momentum.
Also, our business classes that it's a bit cyclical. So the gains and the losses in inventory are easily offset in the 1 year itself. So this is a very technical thing, and it should be offset in the other quarter by some inventory gain as well. And also adding, in the first quarter, China is pushing a lot of material in export market and every kind of market as well. The price correction came from that side as well, so a lot of imports were affected through that process as well. So going forward, there should be no more such inventory losses, we suppose.
Okay. So you are saying that secondary steel prices have fallen more, and because of that, that's the one reason we have booked a higher inventory loss. So the differential between primary fall and secondary fall is higher.
Yes. That is one reason. One of the reasons of this part of this inventory loss.
Okay.
So the secondary market, the prices are falling more than 20%. So that's one of the major reasons. In primary, it's different. In secondary, it's more than 40%.
How much is the percentage of secondary we are consuming as a raw material? And is there any flexibility for you so that in a scenario where you see prices of secondary steel falling substantially, you can switch between primary and secondary in order to reduce such inventory losses in future?
So the mills that we have are capable of making the same pipes at all the plants. But right now, the secondary material is only made in our Mandi plant and our Raipur plant. The Raipur plant that we have is once the battery integrated. So over there, we have enough production of coils or kelp, even for kelp as well. So that's the only plant where we consume our secondary material. And right now, the future, we don't see a board that's coming up. I think it's really big line going forward.
Okay. My next question is on the next phase of expansion, means 10 lakh extra, who's this 10 lakh? Is there any thought, initial thought the management has given or is it too premature for this as a subject to discuss now?
Aditya ji, this is a little bit too premature to discuss right now because our current short-term target is to reach a capacity of 1 million tons and then look forward to increase the capacity to with another 1 million tons. But to cut it short, we do have a lot of brownfield of capacity to increase the capacity to another 1 million tons with a land bank of over 100 acres and the majority of being vacant. So those initial setups we do have. So, but what to install and how to go forward with the mix of production, that we still need to come up with a plan to share with you.
Okay, fair enough. One last question. So just if you can throw some light on how is the expansion progressing. So we are expecting 7.5 lakh capacity in FY24 and by FY25 we can reach a target of 10 lakhs. So is it a fair assumption or there might be some miss on that?
This is absolutely going to be achieved. As you rightly mentioned, 7.5 by the end of this year and 10 lakhs by the end of the next year. So we are on track to achieve that and very well equipped also to do so.
Okay, and our utilization rates on this expanded capacity will be near about 50% in the upcoming 2 years, right?
Yes, coming 2 years, yes.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Bhavin Pandey from Athena Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sorry if you threw some light on it and I missed it. I just wanted to understand reason for Q-on-Q decline in export volumes. And second, also if you could throw some color on the sales mix in terms of dollar rather than the volume mix that's mentioned in the presentation, just wanted some color on the dollar number in terms of sales mix between value added and the normal set of products.
So yes, in a quarter to quarter basis, the export has declined primarily due to the reasons of the international market being corrected more than the Indian market. So there was a certain corrections in the international market which allowed China to throw better material to the area that we were serving, and subsequently when the prices go down, majority of our buyers are stockists in these areas to procure material from us and stock it for further selling. They start with destocking in the lower price scenario. So that is one aspect of it. The other question that you had was on the dollar terms. That number is not present to me on hand. So we can come back to you at a later stage for that.
Okay. And do we see some sort of threat in terms of anti-dumping duties that could be imposed on us, especially in the Latin market?
So the Latin market is not a very big part of our business. We are primarily serving the areas of Europe, UK, Ireland, Africa, and Australia, where our product has no anti-dumping duty currently. Only certain quotas are available in those areas. Having been said that, there is a free trade agreement talk going on with the UK as well, wherein the duty presently on the steel towards the UK or certain quotas towards the UK would then be wiped off and would be in a better position to supply bigger quantities in that market. So we are looking forward to that free trade agreement being taking place.
Okay. So UK would be again more of value-added products or a mixture of both?
So as to reiterate, our 90% of our exports is value-added product, which is galvanized steel pipes. So majority of our products that will be going forward exporting into the various regions would always be value-added products.
Okay. And you know, one thing we could realize that we as a business are in growth stage, so cash collection would have some drag if we look around at other players. Just wanted some color on how the cash collection has been this quarter, and in the long run, what sort of number are we looking to maintain for our net cash collection cycle?
Yes. So, the debtor days
stand at 33 right now, and going forward, we aim to bring the debtor days to 24 days by year end. This happens because we are offering cash from in the market, and our dealer network is growing as well. So, our majority of that portfolio would be adding towards dealers, and where they are offered cash discounts, so hence the debtor days will be reduced. And that's how we claim to plan to get it down right now. We've been thinking about vendor financing as well right now, and still evaluating the options if it's viable for us and the dealers as well.
Okay. And just one last thing. So now we have inventory on our books because of the correction that happened in the market. So do we see that over the next few quarters, because of this inventory being sold off, our cash collection cycle might look better than what it is supposed to look in the long run?
It is all anticipated numbers, but yes, going forward, if the market is faring well and it is in the upward direction, in the upward directing market, the cash collection cycle always fares well because of the squeezed demand, the squeezed supply of supplies of steel. So it would be safe to say if the price are correcting in the upward direction, the cash collection cycle will also be faring better.
Okay. Wonderful. And congrats on, value-added volume sort of doubling, and all the best for and Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Invasion Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a little bit on your capacity and your outlook for volume growth for the year. Our current capacity is 5.86 lakhs. And at peak, we can do what, 60-65% utilization?
Can you come up again?
On the 5.86 lakh capacity that we have currently, can we do 60-65% kind of utilization?
Yes. We can look at the number of 60% utilization, and that's we're getting a 30% growth from last year. So that's the optimal level of utilization and growth.
So at 60%, we can at least do 3.5 lakhs kind of volume, and still we're only talking about 30-35% volume growth for this year. Demand is strong, and like Sanjay mentioned earlier, we're a small player, significant scope for growth, and we have more capacity coming, about 2 odd lakhs this year and another 2.5 lakhs for next year. Can this volume growth not be significantly higher than the 35% we're talking of?
Yes, as compared to last year, if you see, we've done a volume of 240,000 tons. So that was done at a capacity of essentially 4 lakh tons. The capacity expansion of 1.86 lakh tons came over the period of the year that we went through, and the Mandi Gobindpur expansion also came in by the end of the year. So this year, yes, we are targeting a capacity churn of about 350,000 tons, which would entail it would be around 40-45%. However, due to the prices being a little confusing at the moment, we are seeing that revenue terms it might be only about 35-40%. So it's safe to say that we will be doing about 350,000 per ton of material this year.
Got it. So you're saying that the volume growth will be higher, but because of the revenue per ton being slightly lower, that's why the 30-35%. Perfect, this was clear. The next thing I want to understand is that the EBITDA per ton, which last year was 5,300 and for the current year we're talking about 4,500 to 5,000. Once this whole 10 lakh comes on stream, and obviously we're targeting for higher exports and higher share of value add, what is a more sustainable number, or what is the aspiration, or where do we want the EBITDA per ton to be 2-3 years down the line?
Yes, Nisha, to answer that, is this when we are increasing the capacity to 1 million tons of capacity, we are initiating our value-added product also to increase substantially and increase it to the level of 50% of our the entire produce. So that is our main winning point here, where if we are able to do that along with increasing our capacity, our target for EBITDA would be between 7 to 8% of the volume that we do, so for the revenue that we do. So that is a safe haven to say. But yes, if we have the opportunity to make higher margins, we would be more hungry to do that as well. So that is, and that has shown in the last quarter of last year, that if the availability of higher margins were there in the market and we were able to do so, achieve so, we were we went out and got that.
Going forward, we are also adding galvanizing capacity quarter on quarter and increasing our galvanizing product portfolio. From last year, from 30%, it has increased to 42% quarter year on year. So if we stick on these similar targets and we don't face some kind of inventory loss, so the EBITDA margin should be increasing in a positive manner as well.
Got it. And what is the definition of value-added products? Is it what, 4,000 rupees EBITDA per ton, higher than that, or what is our definition?
So the value product segment includes of galvanized pipes and full segment structures, and usually the depending on the market condition, but the usual the EBITDA per ton is around 700 to 8,000 rupees in galvanized pipes in Morocco, in value for product.
Sorry, your line is not clear, so I'll just repeat it. You're saying value added products are galvanized pipes which have an EBITDA per ton of 7,500 to 8,000.
8,000 rupees, yes.
Okay, and what is the inventory loss that we had in the current quarter?
We might not have the exact numbers right now. We can definitely get back to you on the same numbers in single matter IR or obviously the team for the team. We don't have the exact numbers on that.
And our cash conversion cycle is currently, for last year, was it about 70 days, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Any chances of improving it?
Yes. The last year's cash conversion operating cycle days was about 73 days and the previous year was 62 days. In the last year, we had certain bigger shipments of imports, etc., that we had imported. So the finished good inventory had actually increased. Sorry, raw material inventory has actually increased. So that is the reason of increase in the cash conversion cycle. But looking at the current market scenario, there is less import and less stock. That is good going forward in the next three quarters. We see that there will be less stock coming in in a bulk. So that is one reason that we see that this year we should be hitting the operating cycles of the previous financial year 22 and going below say 60 day cycle.
Got it. That's great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
We have the next question from the line of Shikha Kapoor from Omkara Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, I think I have two questions. One, all this while we've been talking about the value addition would lead to higher margins, right? I mean, so I'm just failing to understand on a quarter-on-quarter basis. If I look at your EBITDA per ton, it's actually a dip from 6,500 per ton to 4,500. Whereas your value-added product mix to overall revenue has actually gone up from 24% to 44%. So just help me understand what is the breakup in the conventional EBITDA per ton, whereas the value-added per ton kind of a margin. This is one. And two, in your amalgamation with Chetan Industries, is it possible to give a ballpark numbers or what is the capacity? Does this 5.8 lakh include Chetan Industries and what is the sales and ballpark bottom line contributed by Chetan Industries? That will be helpful.
Okay, thanks for the question. So, as we mentioned, the quarter four numbers were exceptional. We've also already mentioned before as well that the numbers that we had in quarter four were exceptional because we had good orders from government and export market, which we realized was very good pricing. And that was the reason that the return margins and all the numbers were looking so good. The year-ending numbers were around 5.83. And what the numbers we got, fat margins were around 5.83. And the numbers that we got in quarter one are around 5% as well. So we aim to stick in the same line around 5-6% of fat margins and EBITDA margins 7-8%. And this should remain the same going forward as well. And if you talk about gate industries, the number over there, the capacity over there is around 1 lakh tons per pipe. Out of which around 30% is being valid drug segments that we manufacturing over there. And 70% is black pipe. And along with that, we have a capacity of 1.6 lakh tons of calls over there, which is only for enough consumption. So if anything else is required, we can obviously mention about that as well.
So it's 1 lakh metric tons, is that right?
It's a capacity of 1 lakh tons. So it's utilized in a similar manner as other three plants, which is around 60% utilization. So we produce over 60,000 metric tons of materials 1 year at Raipur plant.
Okay, so out of 1 lakh capacity, you are producing 60,000-65,000 tons, right?
Yes.
What is the ballpark sales and bottom line? Is that part of quarter one?
Yes, it is
yes,
part of quarter one.
So the ballpark sales for the entire year that comes from that unit is somewhere between 380 to 400 CR. With a capacity of 1 lakh metric tons per annum.
So if I understand from a quarterly sales of 500 crore, majority, almost 80% is contributed by Chetan Industries. Is that right?
No, 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 no. That is not correct. I'm saying on a yearly basis, that comes from there.
On a yearly basis. Okay, got it. Right, thanks.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one now. We have the next question from the line of CA Karvit Goel, please, from Invest in Analytics. Please go ahead.
Hey, thanks for the opportunity again. Just to continue with the earlier participant, you mentioned a beta pattern will be in the range of 4,500 to 5,000, right? But at the same time, you mentioned our value-added products are increasing, like she mentioned also 42% in this quarter. Plus, you are expecting steel prices will show upward traction going forward. So, why you are expecting such huge fall in the EBITDA pattern as compared to FY23?
Yeah, hi, Abhinji, again. So, the reason is that we are to increase our capacity in value addition also, we have to firstly increase the capacity in the commercial black pipe production. So that will come in before the addition in value addition. As Pranav earlier said, to reiterate the same, the Q4 margins have been an exceptional time for us wherein we had higher margins from the export segment as well and the government segment as well. So that is the reason the EBITDA of about 11% something was there in that quarter and about 7% something of that was there. But when the prices have been corrected and we sold more materials with domestic terms, we came back to the actual realization in this particular quarter. So going forward, it is again safe to say that we will be able to achieve the set windows, numbers in the set windows. But again, if there is any exceptional quarter or exceptional time that we are able to bank on and increase our fat margins and EBITDA margins, we would be endeavoring to do so.
And just to add, quarter one EBITDA numbers are still the industry leading numbers. And obviously, we had better numbers than quarter four, but despite that, quarter one numbers still in the feeding in the right now.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have the next question from the line of Bhumika Devnani from RE Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, good afternoon, everybody. Sir, I just wanted to know that this revenue growth...
Sorry to interrupt, ma'am, your audio is not clear. May we request you to use your handset, please?
Hello, is it clear now?
Yes, ma'am, please proceed.
So my question was, this revenue growth of 35%, is it till we complete 1 million ton capacity expansion, or will this be the same after we've done that also, like for the coming years?
Hi, Bhumika ji. Thank you for your question. Yes, till the capacity expansion of 1 million tons, we are very well anticipating this revenue growth of 35%. And going ahead from there, our next plan would be to increase the capacity to 2 million tons, wherein at the same levels, we would anticipate that the growth going forward would be at the similar levels as well. But we would not like to comment on the absolute numbers. But yes, in today's scenario, sitting where we are and with our capacity expansion going as they are, we anticipate these numbers to be very achievable.
Okay. All right, sir. And the capacity, what is the capacity that we're going to expand and the utilization of it, like in the coming years? As mentioned before, it was like 7.5 lakh tons for 24 years. What will be the capacity utilization for that year? If you could just give some ballpark figure.
So, in the current financial year 24, we are working on a capacity of 5,86,000 tons. Our capacities, which are increasing to 7.5 lakh tons, would be coming by the end of this year by a phased manner. So, we will not be operating on that capacity currently. So, on a capacity of 6 lakh tons, we anticipate to do a capacity turning of about 3,50,000 tons upwards, which would entail a capacity utilization of about 60% to 65% of capacity utilization in the current financial year, financial 24.
See, usually what happens, the capacity additions come by the later months, later quarters. And all the machinery installed and the offset happens in the usually the later month, usually by February and March. So if you talk about the capacity which is installed, it would definitely be more than 10.5 lakh tons year ending. But the utilization effectively should be taken only on 6 lakh tons because that was the installed capacity for the major quarters of the year. So all the numbers in the capacity look better by the year end, but that utilization only is going to happen on around 6 lakh tons of capacity. So on that number, the utilization would be 60%. If you look at the capacity utilization on 10.5 lakh tons, the utilization will seem down to you.
It will be substantial over here.
Right, sir. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akshay from Canara Robeco Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
So first question is, what is the difference between the primary and secondary steel now?
So the current difference is somewhere between 5.5 rupees to 6 rupees per kg.
And how do you see that shaping up going ahead? Because you did mention that the primary steel would go upwards. So then what about the secondary steel?
So they essentially go hand in hand. The normal delta that remains between both of them is anywhere between 5 to 7 rupees per kg. So that is where they say there are bigger macro dynamics at work that shape that delta in the months to come. So current the normal differential is in the range of 5 to 7 rupees per kg. So as the primary steel would go up, the secondary steel prices would essentially take a turn towards upward direction as well.
Okay. Sir, just on this question, so you are guiding for a 35 to 40% on the volume growth. But on the revenue side, you are guiding a little softer, whereas the expectation is that the RM should go up in the second half. So, sir, why the gap of 5%?
Because of this current month as well, the realization has been a little lower. And even going forward, if the prices are more or less stable or go a little upward as well, So we are guiding on a 350,000 tons of capacity, top line of say 2100 tons. So 2100 CR to 2200 CR. So that is what we are guiding. The guidance is on support to what we have witnessed in the current time. So it is just a guidance number, so not the absolute number.
Okay. And so what is the margin expectation that you make from this 350 by 350 diameter pipe that you are putting up because of this DFT technology?
So this DFT technology pipe should also entail increasing capacity to the value-added products that we currently have. So margins, again, the EBITDA margins that we see this current product profile would be somewhere between 6,000 rupees to 7,000 rupees per ton.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will take this as the last question from the line of Giriraj Daga from Visaria Family Trust. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So, few clarifications just had on the call. Did you mention the inventory number loss in the quarter one?
We have not mentioned that currently.
Okay. Second, did I heard you right? You mentioned volume of 360 to 380 in the FY24?
Yes, we currently in the call we mentioned 350 plus, so yes, 360 to 380 is the number that you can look at.
350 plus, okay. Second, this 4500 to 5000 is like FY24 guidance number, right? EBITDA per ton?
Yeah, 4500 to 5500 between this perspective.
Okay. Next, sir, I want to understand the sourcing mix. Like, do we import HRC as of now, given the price difference between domestic and the international market?
So we, yes, we have the opportunity to export HRC. One of our plants is located at the ports of Mumbai, our Maharashtra plant. So, when the HRC is at the lowest end in international market, since we have a good export area as well, so we tend to import material. But looking at the current upward trend in the international market as well, we will see going forward how we have to maintain that mix. But majority of our mix is not through import, it's through local consumption only.
Okay. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, as that was the last question for today, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody, to be on the call and your interest in our company. And it was very insightful to have all those questions from your end and to answer them to the best of our ability. If you have any more questions or queries relating to us and our performance, you can always contact Nirvama and our IR agency so that it is forwarded to us and we can answer them in a better manner.
Also, I would like to thank all our channel partners, investors and dealers and everybody who has listened to us in some way or the other. We are always striving to make the best out of the business. And we are in close talks with all our suppliers right now as well to sign better MOUs, to get better pricing, and the same should be reflecting our numbers in the coming future as well. And lastly, I would like to thank everybody for spending the time and joining us and listening to us and asking all the questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Nuvama Wealth Management, that concludes this conference. We thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.